fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
Am I there? Hello. Okay. Technical issues. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 6th day of April, year of our Lord 2018, welcome to the John Moore Show. Breaking news. It's not headlines on Drudge, but it should be. There's about 3,000 military-age Muslims in Gaza marching towards the Israeli border as we speak. The Israeli military is prepared to meet and defeat this threat. And that's breaking news. Prep for the day. I want to encourage all of you to understand, learn, and educate yourself about electromagnetic pulse, EMP, coronal mass ejections, and prepare to deal with the consequences of electromagnetic pulse attack and coronal mass ejection events. I think you would be well advised to do so. We have a patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than half a century ago to become quite knowledgeable in the area of expertise called ham radio, which he did. Tom has been a ham radio operator for more than half a century. He has made a living in technology, the various aspects of technology. And we're going to talk about this morning emergency survival communications. If you've got a question or comment about emergency survival communications, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Tom, before I forget, I need energy cleaners, and you and I can talk when the show's over about how to accomplish that, but my Easter sale sold me out, and I need a fresh batch. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning, and we'll take care of that order. No problem there.
Okay, thank you. This is radio. We have new listeners every show. We have new people every show who have not heard our previous discussions. So for your regular listeners out there, it will be review. For you new listeners, well, it will be a new page turning over. Tom, when I was in Dallas 2 weeks ago, it'll be 3 weeks ago this coming weekend, I handed out, about 400 to 500 business cards. There was 320 people at the luncheon where I was the keynote speaker there in Dallas, and everybody there got one of my business cards and a sheet with my website address on there. So I know we have new listeners, and that's just true every week. This week may be more so than some others because of my Dallas event. So, Tom, I'm going to begin with a summary of what these two concerns are, and if you have anything to add, once I give my summary, you can jump right in there and add your whatever you want to add. First, we'll go to the natural event. Scientists call it coronal mass ejections, CME for short, Charlie Mike Echo. These events happen on a regular basis. Small ones happen all the time. Big ones happen every few years. The biggest one we're aware of that hit planet Earth was in 1859. It has a name. It's called the Carrington event, named after the scientist who figured out what this thing was. And North America did take a direct hit during that event. And we had no power grid, nationwide power grid at the time. Electricity was pretty much restricted to experimental stages and universities and laboratories and places like that on one hand. On the other, we did have a very extensive telegraph system east of the Mississippi River in 1859. Those wires collected, acted as antennas to collect that energy, directing that energy from the sun into the telegraph offices that started fires in the telegraph offices. The barbed wire fencing crossing the fields acted as antennas to collect that energy and start fires in the fields. When these events happen, they have enough power to possibly go all the way around the planet, which EMP can't do. EMP is strictly line of sight. So they can be very powerful. In 2012, a quite powerful CME just barely missed planet Earth. The scientists and engineers believe that if a similar Carrington event that happened in 1859, if it was to happen in modern day, our modern day world, it would take out the power grid of at least half the planet and possibly the entire planet. That's how powerful these things are. So that's the natural one, and it is inevitable. It's unavoidable that eventually a powerful one will hit planet Earth. Now let's move on to the man-made one, electromagnetic pulse. The phenomenon was first observed in the early 1960s when we were setting off a lot of nuclear weapons in testing, mostly for the United States and South Pacific. They started noticing interruptions and problems with electronic equipment. We now know that electromagnetic pulse is a very serious weapon in and of itself, separate from the effects of what we normally think of atomic blast, which would be the destruction from the blast itself, the overpressure, and of course the radiation. If a nuclear device is set off in space, 50 miles above ground, 100 miles above ground, in the daytime there would be nothing to see. There would be no sound because there's no sound in space. There would be no radiation in the form of nuclear radiation. What there would be an instantaneous microsecond burst of energy that would knock out line of sight, anything line of sight with that nuclear device that has a transistor, resistor, diode in it. Modern electronics would be cannot handle that burst of energy and would be rendered useless. Consequently, anything underneath it, including the power grid, radios, televisions, automobiles, motorcycles, trucks, airplanes, would be rendered useless instantly. Modern trucks, modern cars, modern automobiles, modern aircraft. It was about the early 1970s, around 1972, that the transition began from no electronics in vehicles to electronic ignition, which has continued to the point now where modern vehicles have electronics left to right, top to bottom, for pretty much every system in the vehicle. Possible exception may be the parking brake. Almost everything has electronics in it. And the U.S. government officials who have looked into the consequences of EMP if one was hit, the lower 48. And all three power grids. U.S. lower 48 has three power grids, East Mississippi, West Mississippi, and Texas. If the nationwide power grid was taken down, that at the end of 1 year, 9 out of 10 Americans would be deceased for the following reasons: starvation, bad lack of drinking water, lack of medication and any kind of medical attention at all, and of course criminal violence. So Tom, that's my quick summary. Do you have anything to add to that, sir?
Well, John, I really can't disagree with any of it. I think you've laid it all out, and that's what we have to take into consideration when setting up for preparedness issues and so on. The reason the telegraph offices way back in the 1800s when that happened were damaged was because of the length of the lines, and of course our power grid would be subjected to the same types of voltages and pulses. And there's such a capture area there. You know, the lines are miles and miles long, so it gives it an opportunity to pick up a huge amount of that energy that's been transmitted by this blast, whether it be man-made or from the sun. And that's what causes the damage. Now, I really think that perhaps with automobiles, motor vehicles, there may be a better chance of some of these control systems in the cars and trucks surviving. It could cause a hiccup to where they may have trouble running until turned off and started again. It's possible, though, that many of those vehicles will survive that, John, mainly because there's not miles and miles of wire hanging on them to pick up a lot of that radiated energy. Also, what many people fail to take into consideration when preparing for an EMP is that some magnetic shielding is also required, and it's the magnetic component of that energy blast that would cause a lot of the damage. When you have current flow, that's when some real serious problems can happen. Now, shielding for the voltage, the static pulse, the electrostatic pulse of voltage, needs to be taken care of. The magnetic shielding is equally or more important. So I would suggest everybody take that into consideration. In my case, I actually built a frame. Everybody talks about Faraday cages and this and that, but I actually built a metal box that will contain equipment, and it's in turn sets inside of another metal box. So there's two layers of shielding, and the bonding for ground is in one corner. It's a rectangular case, and in one corner, the inner box is connected to the outer box and in turn goes to a ground rod, a single ground rod. And that, when you have a single point to drain off this energy, you don't set up multiple paths of current flow. If you grounded that box in two locations, you could possibly allow for current flow in the metal itself. Now, you're going to have some if a pulse happens, but multiple grounding will allow what's called ground loops, and that's how many problems could occur from the current flowing between the actual ground rods.
So. Right. Well, I've got, I personally own three vehicles that are EMP proof, a 1959 Ford school bus, a 1975, I believe it is, International Scout, which has been retrofitted with 1973 ignition, and my 1988 Dodge van, which I had a professional mechanic retrofit to be EMP resistant. And for many of these older vehicles, maybe, and I know these hillbilly mechanics, a 350 Chevy engine, for example, a newer one would accept the distributor from an older one. So they may have a Chevy pickup truck, for example, that would be in excellent condition that won't run because of electronic ignition. It would be simply a matter of finding a distributor from an older Chevrolet 350 to install in that vehicle and make it run. And there may some of the things like electric windows and things may not work, but who cares if your windows don't work, as long as you got a motor vehicle that runs. Tom, we got a couple of callers on hold here. First, we have Tim Spencer, my friend Tim Spencer, my co-host. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, you know, we were talking about EMTs and the barbed wire fences starting fires and all. I just wanted to relate to folks what I did to solve the fire problem in case we had an EMT. I drove an 8-foot ground rod, probably 7.5 feet into the ground, and I used a copper connection both on the barbed wire fence and the ground wire, hooked them together with 6-gauge stranded wire, and therefore I am thinking that would lessen the possibility of fire. I was kind of curious what Tom's thought is on that.
Well, Tim, I couldn't hear everything you were saying. It was a little bit muffled, but I think you're describing an electric fence with the barbed wire grounded. Is that correct?
Well, what I'm doing is taking my regular barbed wire fence and grounding it. I was curious what you thought of that idea. I mean, that's what I've done. I did it probably 15 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I'll tell you what, if you had that barbed wire fence close to any high voltage power lines and it wasn't grounded and you were standing there and your shoes were damp and you touched that barbed wire, I'm willing to bet you'd get a shock off of it. And I can tell a quick story about one time my dad built he was a building contractor. He built a large industrial building. And he talked me into helping him with some of the roofing. And we put it was a wooden ladder up against the roof of this building. And there were some high voltage lines nearby, not close, several hundred feet away. And we got there early in the morning and put that wooden ladder, laid it up against that roof. And the roof had dew on it. And it was rather... Let me tell you, I got up on that ladder, and that ladder was kind of damp. And it wasn't quite touching the roof. When I touched those damp and frost-covered roof shingles, I just about got blown off of that ladder. And those high voltage. Now these were very high voltage lines, but they were at least probably 200 or 300 feet away, and it still induced enough voltage into that to give quite a shock.
My fence, Tom, almost a quarter of a mile of it goes within 10 feet of 14,000 volt wires. And that's actually what made me ground it, because of exactly what you're saying. I leaned up against it one day when I was out back, and I got quite an awakening. Believe me, I was wide awake once that happened.
Right.
Now,
probably that's why I did what I did.
Yeah, the best place to, I would think the best place to put that ground rod is where it's closest to those lines. Now, you know, there are stories about farmers tapping into their fences and picking up enough voltage to run light bulbs and things like that. I guess that could be done. But I will say
it can be. I'll tell you from experience, the fluorescent lights in my chicken house weren't run exactly that way. I'm probably going to get myself in trouble for saying that, but that's how I light my chicken house.
Well, you know, it's not the most stable voltage. It's not the best way to do it because dew gets on those fence posts, especially some of them are wooden, it will drain off some of that voltage in the morning. There's a better way to do it. We'll talk about that after the break.
Okay, we have a break coming up. We got a caller on hold. And I don't hear any music. There it is. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the InterShelter domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The InterShelter Dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at thelibertyman.com. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 6th day of April. We're talking to Tom Berryhill and my friend Tim Spencer. We're talking about EMP and related matters. And just before the break, the topic of free energy was being discussed. Tim, you can't get in any trouble for what you're doing. It's there. If you don't use it, it just gets wasted into wherever free electricity goes. So I wouldn't worry about that, Tim, at all.
I installed what's called an on-on switch. In other words, I can draw my power from the fence and using LED bulbs, or I can draw it from the regular power supply from REA. I can do either. And some days it makes more sense, if I go out there to the chicken house, to flip that switch and, draw regular current. But either way works, and I attribute that to using the LED, which works from about 50 volts up to 130, 140. And that really works well for me.
Tom, in your opinion, could 10 be recharging batteries with that system?
Well, that's exactly where I wanted to go with this discussion, is if you took, you might have to use a resistor as well, but a capacitor, when used at power line frequency, 60 hertz, a capacitor can act as a resistor and also isolation at the same time. So you would hook you'd have to experiment with this, but you'd take a large capacitor like that's used in air conditioners, you know, the motor start,
right,
run type capacitors, and you would connect that to the fence, and then maybe have a dropping resistor. You might have to drop it a little bit more. You'd have to use some common sense here with the circuits. Make sure you don't get shocked or anything, but you could drop that voltage then and maybe even use a series of capacitors and set it up as a voltage dropping circuit, as they will act like a resistor at AC frequencies. And then you could tap off of there at the appropriate point and get enough voltage and current to charge a bank of batteries. And now, when you're talking about LED bulbs, many of those operate over a large voltage range because they have a switching power supply in there that takes the high voltage and drops it down to just a few volts. Those white LEDs only operate at about 3.2 volts. And then they hook them up in series and parallel, but they have to take the 120 or 240 and drop it down into that range, and they use that switching power supply to do it. Now, if you take that into consideration, many of these switching power supply type lamps will operate from about 80 volts or 85 volts all the way up to, I believe it's around 265 or somewhere in that range. So that's quite and that works perfectly for this type of system.
Well, that's what I've done. You know, I've taken the regular Walmart LED bulbs, and I put them, you know, in the overhead light lamp, and it's worked perfectly so far, Tom.
Yeah, see, as the load changes, the more lamps you put on there, in theory, they would get dimmer because you're dropping that voltage, and you'd have less voltage and current. Everything would vary with the load on that fence. That fence picking up that stray voltage off those overhead lines just doesn't have enough, it can't source enough current to run an indefinite amount of those bulbs. So at some point you'll put enough of a load on there to actually, it'd be the same thing as grounding the fence. But if you use that to charge the batteries, then the batteries would almost be like a voltage regulator. You would be running off the batteries and only using a fence to charge those batteries. So that power is going to be there 24/7, and then the battery.
That's something I need to think about. Okay.
Yeah, the battery would, but then you'd have to run that to an inverter. A way around all of that is to just get the. Now I've done this with defective. I have some of these LED bulbs that went bad. I cut them open and take out that electronic circuitry and just wire right into the string of LEDs that are in there and just connect right into it. And you can turn that into a DC powered lamp that could be used in a car, truck. There's all kinds of ways to do that.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. And then you could run off the batteries and not worry about inverters or anything else, and just basically charge the batteries and use the DC current from the batteries to run those lamps. And then and like John said, I don't think you could get in any kind of trouble. I believe there was some lawsuits about that in the past, if I'm not mistaken, where farmers did get into some lawsuits with power utilities over that very issue. I think it all got thrown out.
All right,
of course.
Well, guys, I'm going to let you go. You got a break. And you got a caller waiting, so I'll talk to you later. And thank you,
Tom. Okay, thank you, Tim.
Give me a call
today. We got a Bob in the Hour break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our energy cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an energy cleaner $70 off retail and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the energy cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get energy cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the energy cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.
All right, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 6th day of April. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. With our conversation this morning, there's something you need to see at my website. It's the EMP Commission report. This is the report issued by the scientists and engineers appointed by the federal government to look into what EMP can and what it cannot do, with a major caveat, that being they did not have the authority or the money to fully test modern motor vehicles, cars, trucks, against a full-strength EMP pulse. So they didn't do that. The weakened reduced pulses that they were tested against didn't do too bad with these modern vehicles. Also, my website, of course, are energy cleaners. This is my home business. When you place your order, I'm the guy that packs them up. The energy cleaners and the fitted mattress pads, I take them to the Little Country Post Office at Cherryville, Missouri, where this evening you can get an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet with side dishes and beverage for less than $8, and I ship them to you priority mail. The energy cleaner helps you with pain mitigation. It could be arthritis pain. Almost everybody with arthritis pain gets relief. Joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter the source of the pain, you'll probably get relief. Now, getting a great night's sleep, and you probably get relief there also. Keep in mind, I offer from me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you're risking nothing when you buy your energy cleaner. Check out the details at my website at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order right there at my website using PayPal. PayPal is a lot of fun, by the way. It is, in fact, the most secure way to make any payment online. MasterCard, Visa. You can send me a check or money order. My address is there at my website at thelibertyman.com. Plus, I have a toll-free order line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about the consequences of electromagnetic pulse. And our next caller is dropped off. I mean, he's gone, so we forget about the next caller. Tom, let's talk about this free energy is something that probably most people aren't aware of. Wouldn't that be a fair statement, sir?
Oh, I would think so. And, of course, there's been all types of discussions about free electricity ever since it was discovered.
Right.
John, I thought a little concerned.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to, real quick, just if anybody that's considering what Tim Spencer has done, during the break I gave this a little bit of thought, and a battery charging scheme could easily be set up by maybe using a large value electrolytic capacitor, like a motor running capacitor of 200 microfarad, something like that, and put that onto the fence. There's no polarity on there, so you just connect one wire to the fence. The other wire then could go to possibly a dropping resistor. I don't even know if that would be necessary, but the other side of the capacitor could feed a series of diodes. If you had some large-value silicon diodes, each one of those diodes will drop the voltage by about 6/10 of a volt. And if you put those in series, you could have tap points, and you could make adjustments in 0.6 volt increments and set up the charge current for that battery. Now, as a precaution, I would get what's called a Zener diode and put that in parallel with the battery to ground, you know, from negative to positive, and that keeps, maybe make that about 14.5 or volts or so, just to keep the battery from overcharging, and that would shunt off any excess energy. And then, of course, the negative side of the battery could then go to a ground rod, and that would pick up that energy and keep the battery charged, and you could just tap right off the battery with the circuits. And to explain it in simple terms, it'd be like a bucket of water that has a little, just a drip, little drops of water going in. It always fills that bucket up until the bucket overflows. If you need a lot of water out of the bucket, you can take half the bucket instantaneously and use that water, and then the bucket just keeps filling back up again from that trickle of water going into it. Well, this battery would be the same way. That energy picked up off the barbed wire fence would continuously charge that battery, just give it a little bit of a trickle. Not enough to run a whole lot, but enough to charge that battery. And the battery, for short periods of time, can source huge amounts of current, enough to start a car or truck. And then that loads the battery down, uses up a lot of its stored energy, voltage and current power that's stored in that battery. But then that trickle coming in off that fence will just build it back up again, just like that bucket of water could be filled up again from that trickle. You wouldn't get much out of that trickle of water by itself, but when you fill up a bucket, which would be like the battery filling up off the fence, same principle. You use what you need and then let it charge back up again.
Now, that said, Tom, I think it's a fair statement that 9 out of 10 people listening to you talk about what you're talking about, you may as well be talking in ancient Egyptian language as far as they're concerned. They don't have a clue what you're talking about when it comes to resistors and diodes and related matters.
Well, John, you'd be surprised.
Tom, wait, I'm trying to make a point here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need to become affiliated with your local ham radio club, because there's men and women with your local ham radio club who will understand what Tom is talking about and can help you set up your own system to accomplish your own goals. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, it's exactly. And it's really, the circuit I described is very simple. I'm sure we're not going to educate everybody in this short period of time we have today on how to do this, but I gave some food for thought to some of those that are knowledgeable in electronics, and they could take that those ideas and put together a working system very quickly.
Absolutely. And before we get to our caller who's back on hold here, I want to mention Earth batteries. I've mentioned this to some homeschoolers, and it's a great project for boys and girls anywhere from 8 to 16 years old or so. Earth batteries, we all do Google searches, right, or Wikipedia. They've been around since the 1840s. Earth batteries, where you take electricity right out of the ground and can make use of it. In fact, Tim Spencer was a witness to a U.S. Army experiment where they had earth batteries set up running electrical equipment in the tent right next to the earth batteries. And I'll give a quick explanation of what an earth battery is. You need moist ground. It can't be dry. Moist ground, and you take metal rods. They have to be dissimilar, so one rod could be aluminum, one copper, one steel. One steel, one aluminum. As long as there are two different kinds of metal, you drive those rods into the ground on a north-south axis, and then you connect the two of them with a wire. And when the two wires meet, you get electricity. That's a real simple explanation. The farther apart the rods are, by the way, the more electricity you get. I'm not sure at what point it's diminishing returns, but that's simple principles there. Our caller on hold here is Rick in Missouri. Good morning, Rick.
John, good morning, Tom. I think it is absolutely, by the way, if you're lucky enough to have a soggy area in your yard, a low spot, or off terrain from a septic tank, that's just going to be another thing you can do with that. It is fortuitous or serendipitous that you're talking about this subject this morning, because it's been on my mind since earlier in the week when we discussed solar panels and what would happen to them in an EMP. And it occurred to me that most of these controllers that are typically provided with a solar panel kit will have a set of posts on it where you can take the DC straight off the panel before it's inverted into AC. So, you know, usually these controllers, you've got a couple choices. And what I wanted to mention here, it occurred to me after we talked that even if we have an EMP right after the show, you better let Doc Myers do his show first. But even if it fried my controller, I would still be able to get, I think these panels are 12 volts. You hook them together in the series, and then you've got 24 volts. And if you've got four panels, you'll hook two and two and then put them into parallel, and you'd have what, and this is where things get a little shaky for me, is with it's 24 volts, but I think you'd be changing the amps, and this is kind of what I wanted to ask. I want to see if either one of you guys knew what the deal was. You can, I mean, obviously LED, 24-volt LED, that's a pretty amicable appliance, and it's not a difficult thing to get those going. However, if you're lucky enough, or if you've thought about this and you bought yourself 24-volt, let's say a refrigerator, now typically these are for RVs, motorhomes, that kind of thing. There are a lot of 24-volt appliances that people don't know. You can get a refrigerator or a freezer or ceiling fans or a lot of things off RVs are wonderful things for this application. But, Tom, I guess what I wanted to say was a lot of times, you know, these things are going to have compressors. Compressors can be very finicky about amps and things like that. So what would happen if you were running straight off of your solar panels, let's say your controller's gone, and you're trying to run these different appliances, what would happen to you?
Well, you'd have a very difficult time starting any type of inductive load, like a motor or a compressor.
Yeah.
A compressor is basically a motor.
Yeah.
And what happens, You see, when a motor has to start, the starting current's about 5 to 7 times the running current. So if it takes 1 amp to run a small motor, it might take 5 to 7 amps for a half second or so just to get it up to speed. There's just no good way around that unless you have some other mechanical method. I can give you an example. I have a drill press that has a bad capacitor in it that helps to start the motor. And if I turn that drill press on, it just sits there and groans. And if I left it on long enough, it probably popped the circuit breaker because it never started. It's drawing a lot of current. I have to give the chuck on that thing a spin real quick. Just grab it, give it a twirl, and it takes off. I've got to change that capacitor, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
That's a very common problem for air conditioners. A lot of times the capacitor goes, and this is exactly what you get.
Yeah, and they actually have hard starting compressor kits for air conditioners. If your air conditioner won't start running, you can buy. And all it is a capacitor that gives some extra capacitance to give to boost the current when it first starts up. And then there's a thing called a potential relay that drops out once it comes up to speed, and that starting capacitor is switched out of the circuit and ready for the next time it has to start again. That's what you'd be fighting, Rick, on with solar panels.
Okay.
Solar panels by themselves would unless you had a huge system, your biggest problems would be starting motors. And of course, the way around it is like a similar system that we talked about with batteries on Tim Spencer's electric fence. John, we should take up a collection to get bail money to get Tim out of jail when they come for him for stealing all that power.
that's a fantasy. You know, the power grid, the engineers who work for these power companies, they know what we're talking about, and they do what they can to preserve the power that they're generating and get it to the meters where they can charge money for it, and whatever's lost is lost. Whatever Tim Spencer's making use of is wasted energy anyway. So they're not really losing anything.
There's tremendous losses on a power grid, and they take that into account, and they use all types of capacitors and to correct the power factor and everything else. You'll see these on the poles. As you drive by, you'll see the transformers, but then you'll see these banks of capacitors that are square, and they have large insulators on top, and they have combinations of these systems to help out with all of this. And so there are losses, and they know that. It's going to go to waste. Yeah, I'm just kidding around with that. I don't think they'd ever mess with Tim because he's only doing what a lot of other people do, and it's not a bad idea, really.
No, not at all. It's a smart idea is what it is.
Rick,
anything else?
With Rick's solar panel array, unless you had quite a few solar panels, you have to be able to source enough current to get that motor started. That's going to be the hardest thing to do. But if you charge up the batteries, like described earlier, and then you take that heavy starting current out of those batteries, it doesn't affect the solar panel doesn't care. It just keeps trickling energy back into that battery to bring it back to where it needs to be, and then you take large amounts here and there as needed. It's a pretty foolproof system.
Well, I've got 4 of those big Trojan batteries. That's not a problem. But really, for practical application, then we're really looking at probably just lighting. You'd be able to
light
them easily if you had...
Rick, I want to recommend, if you don't have them already, to get PulseTech devices for your Trojan batteries.
You and I went over that, and I've got those. I've got that on my desk.
Well, they'll pretty much double the life of those. Those Trojan batteries are incredibly expensive, aren't they?
$1,000 for 4, yeah.
Right, and that's not going to power a house. To power a house, you'd be looking at probably $10,000 to $15,000 to power a house in a normal sense of the word, wouldn't you?
Oh, I tell you what! I wish somebody would die and leave me some of those nickel iron batteries. That'd be great.
I haven't talked to the guys that manufacture them. First of all, the Edison iron batteries are not genuine nickel iron batteries, because it's just nickel plated iron is all it is. It's not it's not an alloy. That's why they offer a 10-year warranty, because around 11 to 12 years the nickel starts flaking off. You don't want to buy the Edison iron batteries. You really, really don't. The ZapWorks batteries are not back in production. Hopefully they will be, but we don't have a target date. That's the weak link in all these alternative power methods, is the batteries, for the reason I just stated. To power a house, a normal American 2,000 square foot house, would be about $15,000 to $20,000 worth of lead acid batteries. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 6th of April. One brief follow-up here on these lead batteries, these lead acid batteries. That's the weak link is because these batteries, the ones that Rick talks about, the Trojan batteries, those are industrial batteries. The same type used in forklifts are incredibly powerful, incredibly heavy and big, and incredibly expensive. They're excellent, excellent lead-acid batteries on one hand. On the other, properly maintained, they will last about 10 years. If you have the pulse tech devices like Rick has, I think he may expect to get 15 plus years out of them, properly maintained. Most people, most of the time, can't afford to spend $15,000 to $20,000 replacing a bank of batteries every 10, 12, 15 years. They simply can't do that. That's a weak link. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, John.
Is Tom there?
So, yeah, I'm hearing you, but you may be cutting out. Yes, that's the weak link. These lead acid batteries. Replacing those is very expensive. I have a very small solar system here that I use only to power some ham radio equipment. I have two deep cycle 12-volt battery. I think they're PowerSonic is the brand, if I remember right. I can't see them from where I'm sitting. But they're used in UPS, which is an uninterruptible power supply system that was used for cellular phone sites for the base stations. And it's a very nice set of batteries. And I use some small solar panels to trickle charge those. And then I also have a charger that plugs into the wall and just uses regular house current to keep those charged if needed, or I can charge them from a small generator just to keep that equipment running. And it's a very, very good way to power your ham equipment or any other type of critical equipment that you have that needs to stay running. So I will work all of my radio equipment off of 12 volts that way. It works great.
Right. My surveillance vehicle that I built in 1990, I had a backup power system completely separate from the motor vehicle with a deep cycle 12-volt battery to run radios and fans and lights and things like that, that I could isolate from the main battery and then keep charged up when the vehicle was running. It was a great system that worked perfectly for me. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, for all of you listening out there, if you want to gain access to this knowledge, find your local ham radio club, and you'll find men and women who this is not a mystery to, that what Tom and I are talking about and Rick, this is not a mystery. This is simply how they live their lives, and to tap into this information, you need to become part of the ham radio community. Right, Tom?
That's correct. There's all types of knowledge, and those men and women that are members of those clubs, they're willing to share that. Just go to their meeting. You don't have to be a licensed ham operator. Just express an interest, and you'll be welcome. And you can take it from there. They'll help you get started.
Absolutely. Tom, let's talk privately before the day is over. Appreciate the call. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Top of the hour break. Back to Dr. Meyer. Stay tuned.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.